All right, it's good to be back to the Upper Room Fellowship. May the Lord bless you for coming. Amen. To praise the Lord. We appreciate His blessing upon us. I'd like to be reading from the book of 1 Kings, if you have your Bibles this morning. Read from your scripture. I have a message. Preach from these verses. Let the Lord be my helper this morning. Hope the message encourage you. Then this morning for 1 Kings chapter number 19 concerning the life of Elijah. We begin reading verse number 1. 1 Kings 19:1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water in his hand. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Amen. Let's look back to verse number 4. I'd like to take my message this morning. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And what did he say? It is enough. I'd like to preach from those three words this morning. It is enough. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to know, Lord, that there is power in Thy Word. We know that through Thy infallible truths, we're here to receive what You have for us today. God, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be upon Thy servant to deliver a message that may encourage Your people. Lord, we're living in a very evil hour, and we know, God, evil surrounds us. But we know the power of God can deliver us from every fear and doubt that we may have today. Do touch us, encourage every heart, meet every need, lift us up. Help us to receive, Lord, for we need a touch of Thee. And what is ever accomplished, we will forevermore thank You and praise You. And everyone that loved the Lord said, Amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. We find in chapter number 18 where Elijah came unto the people, and he said, How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. So we come to know after a period of time of the offering of the even sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said unto the people, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, saying unto the Lord, that I am thy servant, as he had prayed, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And he took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. So we have understanding that Elijah slew the 400 prophets of Baal. But there was meaning for that, and we'd like to reveal that this morning as we had read. Amen. Praise God. There's much meaning here through these verses of Scripture. Elijah was courageous, making this confirmation with Ahab concerning the unrighteousness in Israel. And it made him a model prophet to Israel, the most qualified person to be the prototype of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah was a true man of God, one who spoke not as a people pleaser, but as a faithful bondservant of God. Elijah was called to defend the true God of Israel. Amen, praise God. So Elijah challenged the people to make a choice between following God or following Baal. Israel had believed they would worship both at the same time. They were, guilty. They were also guilty of a divided heart that tried to serve two masters. Amen. How many believes that we cannot serve two masters?
Amen.
Amen. How many believes that you can't have two gods in one house? How many believes that one will overrule the other?
That's right. Come on.
Amen. So we can't have two gods in one house. Amen. So we come to know that through the worship of Israel, they were torn between the two. They was guilty of this divided heart because they were serving two masters. But Elijah's mockery of the prophets of Baal reveals his fierce indignation that the immoral, cruel adultery that Israel had embraced him. But his uncompromising attitude expressed loyalty to his God, whom he loved and whom he served. And through Elijah's courage and his faith, no parallel in the entire history of redemption, amen, his challenge to the king to rebuke all Israel, and his confirmation with the 450 prophets of Baal. They were undertaken with the weapons of prayer and faith in God. That was Elijah's faith and his confidence in God. The purpose of Elijah's confirmation with the prophets of Baal and then his prayer was to reveal the grace of God to his people. He wanted to turn their hearts back to God. That was the purpose, to turn their hearts back to God. Amen. But the fire of the Lord failed. Amen. To consume the sacrifice, that this miracle vindicated Elijah as God's prophet and proved that Israel, Lord alone, was a serving God whom they were to serve. Amen. And we notice that after he had slew the 400 prophets of Baal, that their death sentence was just. It was done in obedience to the law of Moses. Amen. Elijah's action against the false prophets of Baal represented God's wrath against those who were trying to destroy the faith and spiritual heritage of his chosen people, and expressed Elijah's love and his loyalty to the Lord. His spirit and heart was in harmony with God. His moral and spiritual sensitivity was outraged at the tragic defection of Israel from their covenant God, the one who had loved and redeemed them. Amen. Elijah's destruction of the false prophets also manifested a deep concern for the Israelites themselves, who were being spiritually destroyed by false religion. Amen. So though we know there, the purpose of destroying the 400 prophets of Baal, but we come to know it changed in chapter number 19. Amen. Here we find in the scripture they read to you that Elijah's expression of faith and the supernatural victories in chapter number 18 were followed by fear and flight for his life and discouragement. It all resulted in Jezebel's intention to destroy his life. Even Elijah had received no word from the Lord to remain in Jezreel. To have stayed would have been to risk his life unnecessary. But his destiny was Mount Horeb. But Elijah's forced departure from Israel for Judah in the wilderness was a great example of those who, for righteousness' sake, have been ill-treated and forced to wander in deserts and mountains and caves. Elijah, this great man of God. Here he was after he had slew the 400 prophets of Baal. How he tried to restore Israel back to God. But we find in chapter number 19 he was overcome by exhaustion. He was overcome by discouragement. And he had much grief because he prayed. He prayed that God would deliver him from this heavy prophetic burden and let him go to be in his heavenly home. Oh, we think of Elijah's feelings. We're not unlike that of the Apostle Paul we had the feelings to know, we find in Scripture in Philippians 1 and 23, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. We find that of heroes of faith, because they desire to go be with the Lord in that heavenly home. Oh, but we find that there were reasons why Elijah was discouraged. He felt apparent failure. He felt that he had failed. He had expected the conversion of Israel, and even maybe Jezebel, yet he now had to flee for his life. Oh, we find the hope and the labor and the struggle of his whole life appeared to be ending in failure. Oh, in heavy times that we feel that we have failed God, but he has never failed us.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And then we find that Elijah was lonely. He felt that he stood alone in his conflict to God's truth and his righteousness. And he had such physical exhaustion after a long and strenuous journey. But God was there all the time. How many believes that?
Amen.
That God was there all the time. We find that Elijah, through his discouragement, amen, that the Lord God of heaven allowed him to go to sleep. He nourished him with food. He visited him with an awe-inspiring revelation of his power and his presence. He provided additional revelation and direction for Elijah. He gave him a faithful companion with a kindred spirit. But God had a purpose, and God had a plan. How many believe that?
Right.
Amen. Maybe we find that no more than many evangelists in their day and hour travel many miles, and they fast many days with no results. We come to know that men labor before God and they pray days without end. Amen. Thinking that there will be results and don't see no results. Amen. Quickly, we feel that if we pray and if we fast and we seek God, we feel like God's going to come in the time that we desire for Him to come. But times we have to wait upon the Lord.
Right.
There was a purpose in history between chapter number 18 and 19 that I shared with you this morning concerning this great man of God. Elijah was a man of great faith. He was referred to as the man of God, for God was very present in his life. We know he was a man of prayer. That Elijah had prayed and prayed and sought God. We find it in the New Testament scriptures. Amen. Concerning the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That as Elijah had prayed, and heaven withheld rain for 3.5 years, and Elijah prayed again, and the heaven gave forth the rain. We know that this man had prayed, and God met his every need. Even then, amen, as we read in this chapter here, amen, the brook dried up, but God sustained Elijah through the widow woman that was there. We come to know that this great man of God had great faith in God, to know that through his life, Elisha was his, amen, successor. And therefore we come to know that through his life, Elisha looked to Elijah as the man of God, and he desired a double portion of his spirit. Such a great man, such a man of faith.
Yes.
But within one day's period of history, if we could calculate maybe the hours, within just one day's time, we find that Elijah was in a very low state of mind. Excuse me. Amen. He come to the place of discouragement. He come to the place of exhaustion. He come at the time that he even requested for himself to die. As I read to you in chapter number 19. Could you imagine the great man of God who prevailed? Could you imagine the great man of God who had prayed, who had faith in God? Amen. He was on Mount Carmel. God revealed himself to this man. He ran Ahab's chariot back to the city. Amen. There was a great abundance of rain that came. But there was a woman there by the name of Jezebel, who was a type of Satan. I guess we could refer to as her as a type. In other words, she was such a wicked woman, such an evil woman. She desired to take this man's life. She was working against him. He had slew the 450 prophets of Baal. The power of God was made known. The people that worshiped the Lord, the power fell, the fire fell from heaven. Consumed the water that was in the trenches. God proved himself to Elijah. God proved himself to Israel that he was a God. But I want you to think of this, church, as I preach through this message this morning. How could a man who had so much victory and power with God, within a short period of time, requested that himself might die? Oh, yes. And what did he do? He sat under a Jupiter tree, and there he was. And he said, "Oh, it is enough. Oh Lord, just take away my life." For I am not better than my fathers. In other words, I have failed thee, O God. I have failed thee. I couldn't win their hearts back. Amen. Oh, no, it seems like I tried and I prayed and I prevailed in prayer. I tried to pray without ceasing. Amen. Oh, just like when times when they had fasted before God. And, amen. And ashes and sackcloth and ashes and prevailed in prayer. In church, we know there is power in prayer. There is power through fasting.
Yes.
And Elijah was one that had prayed and fasted and sought God. He had heavy labor in his concern for Israel before the Lord, yes. But here he was, ended in failure and loneliness. Oh my God, it is enough, it is enough. I want to die, I want to die. This is enough, this is just about as much as I can bear. I'm at wit's end. I feel like I can't go another mile. I can't feel, I can go another step. Here I am under the juniper tree. Here I am saying, Lord, just take my life from that. I want to go be with you. I believe that Apostle Paul, as I referred to that, I believe that he come to that place. Amen. Knowing that it'd be far better to be with the Lord, but he had a purpose and a very way of preaching the gospel to help people, and he was going to fulfill what God had called him to do. But Elijah had requested to die. Amen. Paul didn't request to die. He knew it'd be far better to go be with Christ, but he didn't request to die. Elijah requested to die. We read about Hezekiah. Amen. He desired to live, and the Lord added 15 years to his life. Here we amen. Amen. Hezekiah was a great man of God. Amen. Paul was a great man of God. Elijah was such referred to as a man of God, but he requested to die. Amen. Just in the short time after Mount Carmel, after the defeat of all the prophets of Baal, here he was, called Jezebel, a type of Satan, an evil woman, was after him. And he says here, I want to die. I've had enough. It is enough. And that's the way I feel for many Christians this morning. Amen. At times, church, we feel like we try to do what we can to pray, but God don't send the answer. We feel like we have fasted and God hadn't sent the answer. We feel like we have prayed for our companion, our loved ones, our children, our neighbors, our friends. Amen. But none of them's getting saved. I have carried before God. I even put out a fleece before God like Gideon. And still I hadn't received an answer. Still, what am I going to do? I feel like at times through my discouragement and through my failures and my doubt and my unbelief that overshadows me, I feel like at times I've had enough. I feel like the forces of hell has come against my mind, and I feel like I've been oppressed too long. And I come to myself and I say, now Lord, it's enough. I'm at wit's end. I can't go no further. Amen. What in the world am I going to do next? I believe like many Christians come to that place at times. I know there's times amen, we feel like we have overcome the wicked one. We feel like we have gained victory. I desire to overcome the flesh. I desire to have victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil. But I come to know that the devil comes in like a flood at times, and I don't understand why God just don't come through for me. I don't understand why I'm still feeling the way I feel, and the things that I may be facing, and the burdens I still continue to carry. Why ain't God delivered me from these burdens? Why hadn't God met my financial need? Why hadn't God saved my husband? Why hadn't God saved my wife? Why hadn't God saved my children? I pleaded with many tears. I sought God. I cried myself to sleep. I come to the place, Lord, what in the world can I do next? Because I feel that I've had enough. It's been enough. And I've come too far to know. Amen, Lord, I place my trust in you. I've had faith, amen, to move mountains. I feel like in my walk with God, I've said to the devil many times, no, devil, I'm serving the Lord, but this time I can't get on my feet. This time I feel like I can't regain. This time I feel like I have no hope. This time I feel like I'm ending in failure. And I come to the place like Elijah. Amen. Oh yes, I've had enough. It's enough.
Come on.
What can I do next? What's the next step? What can I do? I've laid before God. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've got weak in the flesh. Amen. Because amen, it drawed all the strength from me. Because I fasted for days. Oh, saint of God, one man of God prayed and fasted. Amen. It was either 14 or 21 days. Amen. For one of his loved ones. But it didn't happen. The situation didn't change. And the result was death. God didn't change it. But what had come through that was this.
Amen. See, at times when you pray and when you really fast and seek God for a certain need. Amen. Fasting doesn't mean that you're just praying for God to change the situation. Amen. Fasting is bringing strength to your faith to see you through what you're going through.
That's right.
It doesn't mean altogether that I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast about a certain request or a certain need. It doesn't matter, amen, amen, altogether, at times when we feel like that we're weak and discouraged about what's happening. What really matters is that God's going to increase your faith and see what you're going through, because He knows the best for you.
That's right.
He knows the best for you. He's out for your good. Amen. Church, we feel like we have failures. We feel like we're lonely in our trials. We feel the 450 prophets of Baal. Amen. What if we reveal that unto us like 450 demons? It's coming against my mind. 450 demons. It's trying to destroy my home. 450 demons. It's trying to destroy my family. What can I do to stop the forces of hell that's come against my family and my home and my ministry? What can I do?
That's right.
There's many facing things like that, church. Amen. Glory to God. And men, I mean great men, great preachers, great laborers, amen, laymen in the churches. Many have come to the place to witch in. And they come to the place, I've had enough, it is enough, I can't take it no more. I've gone too far. Amen. In this discouragement, I've gone too far in my exhaustion. I've gone too far in my trial. Amen. Now, Lord, I'm walking. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like I'm alone in my struggle. And I feel like I'm alone in my battle. I talked to a man recently who's going to a very, very severe trial. He come to the place. Amen. Oh yes, now Lord, what can I do? There's nothing else I know to do about this situation. And he had to do what he didn't want to do. He had to do what he didn't want to do, but he knew it was the right thing to do. And what about that? He had to do what he didn't want to do, but he knew it was the best thing to do. The one he dearly loved, probably more than life itself, but he had to do it. It was hard. It was difficult. Many tears. Much burden. But he had to do it. Amen. It didn't get rid of the problem altogether. It didn't really seem to help the situation. But he had to do what was right. He had to stand for what was right. I shared with him what I just shared with you. I told him, I said, now brother, listen. You done what you felt like you had to do. And what you done was right. You had to do what you thought that you had to do, and what you was doing was right. But it's one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. One of the hardest things that I've ever had to do is what I had to do. In church at times, like the brother preached, amen, in the message we heard one time, what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do? When Satan has you backed up against the wall and you feel like you have prayed and sought God. Now this is one of my children here. Amen. This is what I brought into the world. Amen. This is one of my own. And it comes to my dear children. And you mean that I have to do something I don't want to have to do. But I'm doing the right thing. Amen. Listen. Amen. Oh yes, at times when I try to encourage my brother in the Lord. Amen. That through the power of prayer, if we only pray and seek God, and we feel like we had to do what we had to do, and it was the right thing to do, saints of God. Amen. Praise the Lord, because we have to put that evil to flight. We have to put that demonic force to flight. You hear me? And I know this dear brother come to the place, I've had enough. I'm at wit's end. What else can I do? It was so hard for him to do it. But all I could do is say, brother, you've done the right thing. Sad, church, to know when somebody you love gets up in your face and says, I'm going to kill myself. Devil's my friend. That's why I told you we can't have two gods in one house. See what I'm saying? I'm just telling you that. Amen. What about how did they come to that place? But the Lord has given our brother strength. The Lord will continue to help our brother and his wife. Because they say we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. They were shedding tears as I talked with them. Saints of God, listen. Amen. People come to that place in life sometimes. It doesn't matter if it's your companion. It doesn't matter if it's your neighbor or your friends or your children. Amen. You come to that place. I've had enough. I'm at the end of my wincing right here. What else can I do? But you only do what is right to do. The right thing at times hurts when you have to do something to the person that you dearly love, but you know it's the right thing. I know I'm not going in all details this morning, but I'm just trying to get a point across to you this morning. It doesn't matter what it may be. It doesn't matter what situation is. Amen. Church, when people have come to the end of their rope, amen, they feel like they've shared with counselors and psychiatrists, and they've done all they can do, amen, as far as man's forces and what they can do in society with doctors and all the other people they may can refer to and talk to. But until they humble themselves and call upon the name of the Lord, until they come to the place and they may say, it is enough, I've had enough. And they said, I don't know what you may be facing, but we come to that place and it is enough and I've had enough. And I'm standing by glad. I say, now devil, listen here. Amen. I'm not giving place to you. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I have victory through him. He is my power. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. I'm standing upon the word of promise. I'm standing upon the word of God. And it does not matter what forces of hell come against me. I know in whom I am believed, and I am persuaded that he is able.
Right, come on.
Oh, my. Amen. You think about it, church, this morning. Amen. Just come into that place. You may want a preacher, I feel like I'm far from that. That'll never happen to me. Don't never think that. Don't never say that. You may be just like Elijah. You may be happy in your soul this morning. Within 24 hours, you can be in the place just like Elijah. In the loneliness, and you feel like God has forsaken you, and you feel like you're a failure. You feel like you're not good to your family. You're not good to nobody in the church. Amen. Because of what's happened. Amen. The way you're thinking, the way doubt overshadows you, the way you're in your failures, and you feel like you're neglecting. You feel like you've turned aside. You feel like you're looking behind. You feel like you don't have no victory. Listen, it doesn't matter, saints of God, what we may think. It's what God thinks toward us and how he honors us if we honor him and stand on our faith and say, here, I'm standing my ground. I'm standing on the promises. I'm standing on the word of God. And I may say it is enough and I've had enough. But you know what I'm doing now? I'm turning to great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver me from every doubt and deliver me from every fear that ever crosses my mind, because I'm still dependent upon the higher power, and that power is in God, and he's going to overshadow me. He's going to quicken me. He's going to continue to lead me, for the joy of the Lord is my strength.
That's right. Come on, brother.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that takes persuasion. Amen. That takes faith. Amen. That takes looking forward. Amen. That's standing our ground. Amen. Can we overcome the wicked one? Do we have power to overcome? Are we walking in the newness of life? Are we walking in the Spirit? Do we feel like we please God? Are we keeping the commandments of God? Are we doing the things that please him? Now, some of you may come to this place, or may come in the near future to this place. You feel like you have prayed, you've done all that you know to do, but nothing's happening. Nothing's getting any better. A woman in Scripture had an issue of blood for 12 years. She prayed, and she prayed, and she spent much to many physicians, but she rather grew worse than to get better. Till she reached out and touched his clothes. In other words, her faith. When Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of me, what did he feel? He felt such a faith connection. Amen. And many were thronging up against him. His disciples were walking with him. He said, who touched me? Now, Lord, you know there's many thronging thee or brushing up against thee, what he was saying. Being may be around thee, Lord. But he said, I felt virtue go out of me. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched my clothes. He felt that this woman was so desperate. So desperate. I believe she come to the place, I've had enough.
Right.
12 years is long enough. I hear that Jesus is walking by here. I've heard the fame of this man. I've had enough. I'm going to fight my way through that crowd. I'm going to get my way through somehow or another. I'm going to get my way to get through there. Amen. And so she made her way through that crowd. And this is one thing about Jesus. He had many followers. He had 12 chosen disciples, but we read many places in Scripture that there were multitudes that followed Jesus. Multitudes. And he fed 4,000, he fed 5,000. Did he not? We know at times where it was just 2 or 3. But we know at times it was many thousands. Hundreds. followed Christ because they heard of the fame of him. And they cried out, no man has spake like this man. And therefore he had power with God, and they were eager to hear what the man of God had to say. Out, and he preached. Healed many. Touched many. But just think about that. The woman who had an issue of blood, I've had enough. This has been 12 years. I'm not going to stand it, not another day, not another minute. I'm going to make my way through. And she reached out, church, and she touched the hem of his garment. Amen, glory to God. And when she reached out and touched it, she was healed immediately. Amen, of her disease. Amen, he healed her. Praise God. He touched her. Amen, glory to God.
Amen.
She reached out and touched him. It was a faith connection. Amen, glory to God. Such a faith connection. And saints, we know without faith it's impossible to please God. And we know it must be a walk by faith. Amen. The faith that we have through deliverance for many that's oppressed and are bound. It's got to be faith that we have in God to stay true to God and to seek him for whatever we may desire from him this morning. Now, some of you may have prayed similar to the way that Elijah had prayed. And you feel like, I've had enough. And I've had enough. But we got to feel like it was when the angel coming to Joshua. Amen. Now, Joshua was a courageous man.
Right.
Very courageous. He was a man who was a great leader of his people. And therefore, just like it was with Moses, they looked to the man of God. They took heed to the man of God. Amen. He ruled over them, but his instruction came from above.
Right.
And once the message had came to the man of God, he delivered the message to these people. But at times through their wandering through the wilderness, they had turned to this false worship and false, amen, prophets of Baal. Amen. They had turned and they struggled between the Lord God of heaven that we know who has led us from Egypt. Amen. And the one who has led us out here in this wilderness, and they come to the place. Even with Moses, through their frustrations and through their murmuring and complaining. Now, is he sent us out here in this wilderness to die? I'd rather go back to Egypt than to die in this wilderness. Now, don't you think about that? That the people of God was under bondage for well over 400 years. Amen. And they traveled many journeys through that wilderness. And he was feeding them. Amen. Glory to God. With the true manna from heaven. And he gave them all that they desired to keep them in their journey. And therefore, after a period of time, where is he? Where is Moses? Moses was doing what he knew that he needed to do. And they couldn't understand it. That's the thing about Christians. Now, you might be in a place just like one of the Israelite people. You may say, well, where's God? Or where is he? See, they looked to Moses because they knew he was the man of God. And they looked to him and followed him and went to him for what they needed. Yes, through all their needs and their wonders through the wilderness, they went to the man of God. He was there to instruct and to help them. That's why I say, just like a pastor, he looks over the flock. And he preaches and instructs them from the word of the Lord. But in the pastor's absence, they feel like they can't even really get no direction. They like they're on just straying sheep until he gets back. He has to take his staff that the Lord give him. Staff that he leans upon. It's got the hook on the end of it. And he takes that sheep and just it may touch him a little bit and push him around a little bit, takes him by the neck and pulls him back into the fold. He gets a little confused, he gets a little misled, and he don't know, amen, what direction. You know, far sheep in general, they don't have no sense of direction. Christians don't have no sense of direction at times. Amen. They're not even devoted to the ministry in such a way, to love it in such a way, and they begin to stray away from it and go to other places and be under one pastor 1 month and go to another church and be under it for another month. They don't feel like they belong nowhere because they're not willing to be established. You must be established. You must be settled in the faith. You must be rooted and grounded like I preached the other service. And saints of God, listen here. I don't know what your next trial may be. I don't know what my next trial may be. And you may come to the place, and I may come to the place. I've had enough. It is enough. I don't know what else I can do. I prayed. I felt like the Lord was going to come through for me, but he didn't come through at the time that I thought that he would. That's the thing about it. We got to wait on the Lord. We got to be courageous. We got to be of good courage. We got to seek him, church. We got to hold on to what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
In other words, you've got to be fully persuaded in your mind. Whether God answers me or not, I'll just keep going on. I got to keep going on.
Right, come on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If he don't answer this request in the time that I think he should, I just have to go on to my next request. See how he responds on that one. So on and so forth. But I don't know how you feel about it, church, this morning. But think, if it happened with Elijah, surely it could happen to any one of us this morning. If it happened to the great man of God who had great power with God, I believe it could happen to any of us this morning, don't you? Think about the crying mother who attended my church for a short period of time. She was a good woman. But every time she'd come, she'd just weep and weep and cry in service. She was a good, humble woman, good woman. Her son, grandson were both killed in an automobile accident. Daughter-in-law, three of them at one time, took out. Imagine. Listen, saints of God, we don't ever know what we're going to face in this life. They will only hold the things for itself. We don't know what one day may hold. Tomorrow may never come for you and me.
Right.
You got to serve God for today. Been at times when I woke up in the morning and thought, well, this is a good day. It felt good. Before the sun went down, I was sitting in the emergency room with somebody at the point of death. Ministry, you face a lot of things like that. You wouldn't think things come, but they do. Never know what one day may hold. And we've got to make the best out of everything we have. That's why a person's got to. That's the thing about it. It's just like with your companion. How much you fall in love with each other. The more you fall in love with each other, the more you'll be faithful. The more that you'll please that other companion. So if they're distant in their relationship, if the trust is not fully there, if the love bond's not fully there, it's not a good, strong connection. That's one thing about serving God. You can fall in love with Him just as much as you want. That builds your trust and that builds your faith.
That's right.
More of God you desire, the more of Him, the more you want to be near to God, the more He wants to be near to you.
Amen, brother.
Man, hallelujah. And He's going to help us, church. I believe God shall fight our battles. I believe when the battle gets hot and the fire begins to try to consume us, try to come in all at one time, amen, I can just feel, well, long as I take my shoes off, I'm on holy ground. The devil, you can fight, but God's going to walk with me in the fire. I'm going to be not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They only seen three, then they looked again, they seen four. But it don't matter. Amen. That fourth man's walking.
Amen, brother.
That fourth man's walking.
Right.
Don't matter how many demons are around us, that fourth man is still walking.
Yep.
And glory to God, when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, he could see the fourth man. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, church, we got to remember he's still walking with us.
Glory.
Amen. Glory to God. Every step of the way, every mile of the way, I know I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. I'm still a true God. I'm a never failing God. I'm going to see you through your crisis. I'm going to see you through your circumstances. Amen. Stand firm in what you believe in me, and I will bring all things to pass. Commit your way unto me. Trust in me. All pass. It'll be worth it after a while. Just hold on. Just hold on just a few more days. Just a few more weary miles. Just a few more weary days. Hold on. Almost there. Amen. Listen, I said the floods of doubt, the floods of fear may overshadow you, and you feel like God is not present in your situation. You feel like, amen, when the devil spoke to you about your brother, your sister in the church, you thought, well, amen, you think this way. People get looking around at me this way. It's what people think about me. Listen, we got to know it's how God's looking upon us. And it's our relationship with God is what's going to make the difference. People's going to do what they're going to do. They're going to say what they're going to say. And they're going to think what they're going to think. We can't be concerned and worried what people think. It's what we think that God thinks about us.
Right.
That's what's going to make the difference in the end and always. It's what God thinks toward us. It hurts when people say the things they do and do the things they do. Say the things they say and do the things they do. We know that. We know all that. But oh God, what does my God think about me? That's what I want to think, Brother Jeff. What does God think towards me?
Right.
Amen. My thoughts toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of good or thoughts of evil? I want to do that which is right in the sight of God. I want to overcome all evil. I want to have a clean heart, a pure heart, and serve Him with a sincere heart, and go forth in victory and in power, and in praise and glory unto my God, who shall keep me and lead me and direct my life. Don't you just love Him, church? Aren't you thankful for what the Lord has given you, what God has done for you? Amen. Oh, yes, just think about what the man of God,
the man of God said, it is enough. I've had enough. It is enough. Amen. Jezebel, come in. That's the way that Satan will come in like a flood. I'm out to kill you. I'm out to steal, to kill and destroy. But you say, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to still serve God. I'm going to have the abundant life that He has for me. Everything that God has in store for me. That's what I told that brother the other day. I said, listen, the devil's out to kill you, to kill your family. He's trying to do. Kill that person that you love most. All we can do, church, is trust Him, believe Him, stand upon the Word of God. He loves us. He cares for us. And He knows how much that we can bear.
That's right.
Right? He knows, and He'll make a way of escape. How many believes that?
Amen.
Let's stand this morning. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just look and raise our hands this morning. Amen. Let's give God praise this morning, thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done. Say, Lord, help us this morning. God, we need Your touch. Lord, we just thank You, Lord. We just praise You. We love You, Lord. We just praise You. We glorify, we magnify Your name. Oh, Lord, we thank You this morning for all the power, amen, all the many blessings, God, that You have given to us. Yes, Lord, help us, Lord, this morning. Saints of God, God wants to do a work for us this morning. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what you're going through. But I want you to find yourself a place to pray. I don't want you to pray about your need this morning. God is able to come through for you. You may come to that place. Lord, I've had enough. It's been enough. It is enough. Amen. I can't seem to go another mile. But God's going to give you strength. His grace is sufficient. Just pray this morning.